You are listening. You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I want to say we are in a real dog fight here in Benton Harbor, Michigan. We got groups coming from all over trying to take over the city. We allowed the Heartland Revolution, which we don't know where they're from. They're the same as the Tea Party, and they are backed by the Democratic Party and some of their backers. They came in here throwing dollars around, and they found this one guy who just so happened to be a commissioner who also voted for the EFM, the Emergency Financial Manager. He voted for the Emergency Financial Manager. They have partnership with this guy, and they talk about democracy. They do not want to talk about corporations. They don't want to talk about anything that's happened to the residents in the city of Benton Harbor. They don't want to talk about nothing but democracy so they can recall Al Pachoca, a Republican, and try to put a Democrat in there. Believe me, Heartland Revolution, stay away from them. I was warned when they came here on April 22nd. I allowed them to be part of what we was doing. During that process, they tried to take over. They started putting out things to the news media, calling the news media like they're organizing the things that's happened in the city of Benton Harbor. Soon as they got here, someone from Wisconsin approached me and told me, stay away from Heartland Revolution. They're trouble. Then they also included, it was a white person who told me that they was a bunch of racists. Well, my thing, they went out and did an attack on me through the newspaper, but I can handle that. But listen, this is for everybody to know. Stay away from Heartland Revolution. And at that time, we're going to hear a little Malcolm.
This is why I say it's the ballot or the book. It's liberty or it's death. It's freedom for everybody or freedom for nobody. America today finds herself in a unique situation. Historically, revolutions are bloody. Oh, yes, they are. They have never had a bloodless revolution or a nonviolent revolution. That don't happen even in Hollywood. You don't have a revolution in which you love your enemy. And you don't have a revolution in which you are begging the system of exploitation to integrate you into it. Revolutions overturn systems. Revolutions destroy systems. A revolution is bloody. But America is in a unique position. She's the only country in history in a position actually to become involved in a bloodless revolution. The Russian Revolution was bloody. Chinese Revolution was bloody. French Revolution was bloody. Cuban Revolution was bloody. And there was nothing more bloody than the American Revolution. But today, this country can become involved in a revolution that won't take bloodshed. All she's got to do is give the black man in this country everything that's doing. Everything. I hope that the white man can see this. Because if you don't see it, you're finished. If you don't see it, you're going to become involved in some action in which you don't have a chance. We don't care anything about your atomic bomb. It's useless because other countries have atomic bombs. When two or three different countries have atomic bombs, nobody can use it. So it means that the white man today is without a weapon. If you want some action, you got to come on down to earth. And there's more black people on earth than there are white people. I only got a couple more minutes. The white man can never win another war on the ground. His days of war victory, his days of ground victory are over. Can I prove it? Yes. Take all the action that's going on this earth right now that he's involved in. Tell me where he's winning. Nowhere. Why, some race farmers, some race eaters ran him out of Korea.
Yes, they ran him out of Korea.
Race eaters with nothing but gym shoes and a rifle and a bowl of rice. Took him and his tanks and his napalm and all that other action he's supposed to have and ran him across the Yalu. Why? Because the day that he can win on the ground is past. Up in French Indochina, those little peasants, race growers, took on the might of the French army and ran all the Frenchmen. You remember Dien Bien Phu? No. The same thing happened in Algeria. In Africa, they didn't have anything but a rifle. The French had all these highly mechanized instruments of warfare, but they put some guerrilla action on them. And a white man can't fight a guerrilla warfare. Guerrilla action takes heart, takes nerve, and he doesn't have that.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I'm going to give you this quick article I just wrote, and I want people to consider this thing because we have to stop the takeover of the city of Benton Harbor. It starts off like this. Gas prices in this corner of Michigan has been hovering around $4 per gallon, and unemployment in Benton Harbor is still well over 60%. Unemployment is still a significant issue, like the rest of the state. It also seems to be a significant stretch of the imagination to think that a large number of people will be willing to fork over or pay $100 to $250 this summer to play the new Jack Nicklaus signature design golf course at the new golf course club at Harbor Shores, owned by Whirlpool. 1 year from now, the Senior PGA Championship, one of the four majors for over 50 years old, touring pros will be played at the Jack Nicklaus Signature Designer Course. The PGA is here. They have opened up an office downtown with property that was taken from the residents of Benton Harbor. There's no payment for that property that they're getting. The PGA have already filled over 1,700 volunteer jobs. Instead of hiring the residents from Benton Harbor, Whirlpool Vice President Jeff Knowles promised that the residents that the project will hire 2,000 residents that live in the city of Benton Harbor. That will never happen. I don't know even how we got involved with that. That would never happen. In addition to the 212 Senior PGA, the 214 Senior PGA also will be played at the Jack Nicklaus Designer Course. That is the linchpin for a master plan beach and golf course takeover by Whirlpool. In a few years, Whirlpool hoped to have 800 residents to go with the brand new course, hotels, marina, river walks, town centers, restaurants, shopping outlets, fitness facility, and a spa for the rich only. We must stop the 212 PGA in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Our pathway must be through the soils, up through the swamps, through the forests, up through the streams and rocks, up through the commerce, education, religion. We must say enough is enough, and the time is right now. We must move right now. We must put ourselves in a position so we can make a difference, because the takeover of Benton Harbor is real. And what happens here in the city of Benton Harbor happens around the country. So I'm asking everybody, every single person, to take a stand. Believe me, it's not just Benton Harbor. But on that note, let me bring in Ralph. Ralph Point, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend. I'm here, and I am listening, and I am learning every moment as I listen to the statements of Malcolm X that you play at the beginning of the program, and I'm listening to your statement. Never so true. It is first happening in Benton Harbor, and it is happening around the country. What is happening? The corporations and the rich are making a greater separation between the rich and the poor. What's that mean to us? That means that we cannot live a decent life. The life that we had hoped for ourselves and our children are being written off, this attitude that you can grow and you can do better than your parents is going down the drain. What are the mechanics? The mechanics are, as we had discussed last week, selling us a pill, a tranquilizer pill, giving us a dart, a tranquilizer dart that we are willing to take. Who are the doctors prescribing this? The corporations, Whirlpool. And the corporations are the rich. Who are deciding that $4 a gallon, that money that comes out of the poor class, if you go to work, you can't avoid it. You got to pay it. They're taking that money monthly, daily, hourly, out of our control and putting us further and further in debt. They're taking our homes, the banking rules. Do you know that you're charged for banking even if you don't use the account? You
right.
put your money in a bank and mm-hmm. they'll charge you for that. What is that? That's about taking the wealth that we have generated with our blood, sweat, and tears for generations. They've taken it away. Foreclosures, those criminal documents, you know, it's a subprime loan, they're taking it away. Who? Those who talk about helping us are not. Not
Absolutely.
The Democratic Party. They have given us the dart in terms of Obama and our so-called friends, the left and the unions. What are they doing? Giving us more Democrats. What must we do? We must take matters into our own hands. Mary will tell you again, if you have a penny, keep it in your pocket. If you
That's
vote,
it.
Put your vote to somebody who helps you. And those who do not help you, remember to punish them by denying them your vote. This
right.
is a new way of life that we must deal with. They talk about the new normal. The new normal is poverty must be accepted. You're going to be poor. You're not going to have a home. You're not going to have a job. This is the new normal. So our new normal must be we're not going to support you. We are
Absolutely.
Going to support those who support us. And we have to drum that into our heads. We're going to get off the idea that we spend money on anything but food and shelter. And until
listen to this. They said that we have discovered that Heartland Revolution, that group out of Kentucky under John Walsh, is actually backed by the Democratic Party. So what we're doing now, we put in a couple of recalls for two Republicans, Governor Snyder and this guy Al Pachoco. Now they done put in one for John Prose, another Republican. And what they're doing, they're financing this Heartland, but they're doing it under the table for the Democratic Party. And but the thing is, they're doing the same thing that Whirlpool is doing here in the state of Michigan. They came in throwing money around, and they got a couple of, you know, when you throw money around, reason unknown, black folks jump on it. This
right.
one guy who voted for the EFM to come in. He voted for the EFM to come in. We was getting ready to recall him. In order for us not to recall him, he switched sides again and got on the right side. We decided not to recall him because it would cost us a lot of money. But we know we would have got him. But the point was, the thing that got me, now this group talking about democracy, and they're angry because the EFM is here in the city of Benton Harbor and other places, but yet and still, they're backing this guy who voted for the EFM to come here. Now, you talk about
yes.
democracy. It don't figure.
Well, Reverend Pinckney, I think you're going to have to go back to your Bible. And one of the things, one of the Bible lessons was that as a child, I did childish things,
mm-hmm.
and as I became an adult, I must put away childish things. We as black people have been acting in a childish manner.
Mm-hmm.
And we
mm-hmm.
must put our childish attitudes and ideas behind us. We must examine everyone. We must examine ourselves.
Right.
Are we doing things that better us, or are we doing things as a child? we act like children. And one of the things when I was in school that annoyed me the most, when you studied the history books and people were older, my age, 60, 70, 80, you must remember those books that said, oh, these are African children. They are not as beautiful as our children. These are other African people. They all are like children. And as I grew older, I began to realize that we act like children.
Mm-hmm.
We, as Malcolm said, whoever they tell us the enemy is, we accept it.
Yes,
whatever
sir.
They tell us is good for us, we accept it. That is childish. We must put this childish belief in love of whoever they put up there in front of us as our savior. As they put Mr. Obama up as our savior, we believe it. We are childish. And I think a description of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result is truly insane. We must get away from this insanity of doing the same thing over and over again, listening to who they put up as somebody who's going to save us. And the group that you just mentioned is not going to save us. We have to examine. They are there for the same purposes as the group that finances them.
Mm-hmm.
Their democracy is for themselves.
Right.
And we must begin to think only people are going to help us is ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Our children have been destroyed in the public school system over the years. Who's in charge of every inner city in the country? Democratic Party. How
That's
can
right.
you expect them to save us? We
that
must have community control in terms of actions. We must control our school system and not be the only people on the planet who allow
mm-hmm.
other people to control their education system. Otherwise, Reverend Pinckney, I would suggest your sermon must be when I was a child, remind them of what that was about. We have come through a childhood of years of oppression, thinking that some program, some president, some issue was going to do it for us. We have left behind all of those who gave everything, political prisoners. We have left them behind. They've been in jail 20, 25, 30, 35 years, those who supported us. We must get on a whole new dynamic, a whole new way of thought. Support those who support you. That's not so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
That's not so problematic.
Absolutely.
Support those who support us.
Support
Absolutely. Those who support our children. Support
mm-hmm.
those policies that are supportive of who we are. And if we can't do that, I dare say, and this is not the Christian philosophy, we are supposed to be our brother's keeper. But if our brother refuses to keep him or herself, how dare we say we're going to keep them? So we must keep those who are willing to keep themselves and us along with them. And it begins with self-defense, self-determination, and self-preservation, not over other people. Along with other people, not being better than the next person. But we must begin to make a distinction between those who are on our side and those who are not. And I don't want to point out anybody, in particular, Jesse Jackson, the so-called, any group that starts calling themselves democracy, I'm suspicious about right away. Because those who call themselves democracy, they said they had a democracy, and we were slaves.
Yeah.
Now they say they have a democracy, we're the new slaves.
Absolutely.
So when somebody uses that word, I have to begin to think critically and say,
Absolutely.
Who are these people? But I know what's in my best interest. I need a home.
Mm.
I need food.
Yeah.
And my children need an education. Anything
Absolutely.
That doesn't do that is the enemy. Anyone who doesn't do that is a waste of my time. Those people out there speaking and, supporting Whirlpool and saying they're going to give us this, they're going to give us that. No one gave anyone anything, especially Whirlpool. That's
Absolutely.
Why they're there. They're paying government fines. They even went beyond the government. They say, you're going to wake these people up. Keep doing
the
things
keep putting it
do.
On them. But here's something I want to read you this real fast. Let me read this to you, then I need your comment about this. is that Michigan to throw 12,600 families off welfare. Who will be next? Is that the Michigan House and Senate passed legislation approving a four-year lifetime limit on welfare benefits. If you have been on welfare for 4 years, you are automatically cut off come October the 1st. 12,600 families will be cut off the roll. The family unit will also lose their insurance, their food stamps, and everything else. Then every month, people will be eliminated. If you have been on welfare, let's say for 3 years, you have 1 year left. Ohio is going through the same process. They are trying to legislate a three-year time limit. These are examples of the wholesale cuts that are taking place in the Rust Belt against a section of the working class that have at least allowed it. And that's a key word. We have allowed it. It can eventually affect the whole working class. And here's what people don't know. The welfare reform bill was passed in 1996 under the administration of Bill Clinton. And everybody talking about he's the first black president. That's the
Isn't
news
that
media talking. It's the news media. They say this man was the first black president, and he did more harm to the black people almost than Bush did.
And one of the things we have to remember, another name that we have to hearken back to Daniel Patrick Moynihan, the beloved Democrat from New York who talked about benign neglect. Well, folks, this is what he talked about. Well, folks, it is here now. Benign neglect. And you know what? It's an interesting thing. I know what he meant. Forget these people. Let them die.
That's right.
I know that this could be an opportunity for us to begin to understand reality. They are never going to neglect us. They will neglect us to death. But when we began to be strong, when we begin to understand, they're going to come after us in all four feet. And one of the things we have to do is begin, and I'm talking about today, to run our money through our communities the same way that those black people who were just freed from slavery, Tulsa, and they did it. And you have to tell them the story of Tulsa, Reverend. They did it. They ran the money through their community five or six times before it went out. And therefore, they solved employment or unemployment. They solved hunger. They solved these problems because they were self-sustaining. They were so self-sustaining as black people that during the Depression, the white people got angry and burned it down. How can these black people do this and we're not able to do it? Well, the reason was that the white people were basing their economy on the economy at large, and the black people of Tulsa said, hey, we're not a part of that economy at large. We have our little thing, and let us make it count for the most. And so we have to begin to think. We've missed the boat many times. We've missed the train many times. But catching this train is going to depend on our abilities, our intent on serving ourselves. And let me tell you, those food kitchens are running out. You're going to be hungry. We're going to be hungry. We have to begin to think, how do we feed ourselves? How do we make our gardens grow? How do we run dollars through our community? And one of the things that people are very angry about at this administration is they said, give the money to the poor because they have to spend it. They can't hoard it. And as poor people spend money, it will build the economy again. These people
work
are so
every
callous. They're not even doing it to save themselves. They must hate us. They must want us dead. Because if they give us money, it will be a quick boost to the economy.
Absolutely.
We have to spend it. We have to buy shoes. We don't own homes. We have to pay somebody rent. We have to pay somebody to keep those homes going. We have to pay our oil and gas bill. This is other people's money. They must hate us something fierce. And if you think and you're ready to deal with that, maybe you're ready. We are ready to deal with our own personal conditions. That means we have to save ourselves. And we have to examine everyone. Examine me. If I say something, you have a computer and an encyclopedia. Go check it out. Who is Daniel Patrick Moynihan? When did he say this? What are they talking about? Look at your early school books, the books of history and social science, it was called. Look and see what they said. And we must begin to look for ourselves, and that will tell us what they have in mind for us. And I'm saying, you look it up. I know what they have in mind for us. They want us dead.
But the people need to know, Ralph. They need to know what to look for. Because here's the thing that we had a meeting on yesterday. And what we did, it was an NAACP meeting. And what we did, we started educating the people on different things. People came from all over just to hear what we had to say in reference to, especially the criminal justice system. And then we started talking about how Benton Harbor itself. Well, you know, here's my thing. I blame some of the people here myself because there are people here who's getting kickback from Whirlpool and other people, and what they're doing, they're keeping up mess so that way you can fight with them rather than fight with the real issues.
Yes.
And this is exactly what's going on, but we have to do something, and we got to do it quick. But listen, we got about 3 minutes. I want you to go ahead and tell us a little bit about Lynn. Tell us how she's doing, what's going on with her, and this is our Lynn Stewart moment. So take it from there, Ralph.
Yes, I'm going to visit Lynn this weekend, the coming weekend, the 17th. I'm going to Fort Worth, Texas. They moved her out to Fort Worth, Texas, far away from people who cared about her. But we're not going to let that happen. We have wonderful people who have been a part of the movement for 40 years and have supported the movement, and they say Lynn should not worry. Wherever they send her, we're going to visit her. And this is one of her pet peeves. She says, yes, I am able to do this because people have supported me, and I am white. She is a white woman who has supported all causes of justice, black, white, brown, whatever it is, Larry Pinckney says it, people who have just causes, and she supported them so well for free, regardless of their religion or of a fee that they could afford. So they sent her far away, and we've been able to visit her. Sometimes she gets mail 101, 102 letters. We have to keep this going because this is what keeps people up. This is what
Absolutely.
Keeps them alive in prison. But one of the things she says, I have white skin privilege. And she says, anybody white who does not admit to being privileged every day in America by having affirmative action, white affirmative action, is not telling the truth. This is why we love her so much, because she is a white person willing to talk about this truth. And she says, we have to begin to support all political prisoners, every name, every person who gave it all to support our people, the oppressed, the poor whites, who are those people in jail. We must support them as a unit, as a group of truth tellers. And this is what she stands for. And she started a movement while she's in jail. Nothing for Lynn Stewart alone. Everything for all of us who are political prisoners, who fought to make it better for all of us, and those victims, political victims, who don't even know that it's a political situation they're in. These poor people who the young retarded man in Newburgh, who was considered a terrorist because he was supposed to blow up some air base. We know it was a government plot. It had nothing to do with terror. These guys couldn't blow their nose. And I hate to say that about people, but they are poor. They couldn't blow their nose, couldn't blow up anything. Yet there are people here willing to send them to jail for a lifetime about this nonsense. And the poor guys in Liberty City who were supposed to, were accused and convicted of wanting to blow up the Sears Tower, they couldn't get to Chicago if you gave them a ticket.
They couldn't walk to Chicago, huh?
They couldn't figure that out.
Even if it took them 2 years to get there, they couldn't walk to Chicago.
They're in jail for this because while they were hollering terror, terror, they were stealing our money.
Yeah.
In terms of our foreclosures, people, what is that, 68 to 75% of black people who got subprime loans were eligible for regular loans, but their homes are gone just the same. And the march continues. The largest loss of economy since the farm loss in the 60s, since Reconstruction, is today. And we're still walking around behind the Democratic Party saying we love Obama. I don't understand.
That's right.
And Lynn Stewart is there. She's in prison. Look it up. You, everybody listening has a computer. L-Y-N-N-E Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T, LynnStewart.org. And you will get all of her information. I don't want to take any more time. When you could just hit that into your computer and you'll get that information. At Carswell Federal Medical Center, Fort Worth, Texas, is up there, and you will get other things that she's done. Thank you so much for listening, and we must do something. We must no longer talk, but put all of our words into actions.
Very good.
Thank you,
and on
Reverend.
On that note, I'm going to bring on Mary. Mary, are you there?
I am, Reverend. Hello to the audience. I want to thank you for having me on. In case COINTELPRO cuts me off, you can find me online, that's Mary, M-A-R-Y, Neal, N-E-A-L. And just type into your computer browser, Mary Neal COINTELPRO. And when you do that, you will get a lot of information. I am a political prisoner in my own home because I tell people what's going on as far as the United States of America, as far as this lie called democracy. Now, what I found out today, Reverend, is that website I spoke to you about earlier.
Yes. Yes.
It's called endoftheamericandream.com. And a report that you'll find at that website says China wants to construct a 50-square-mile self-sustaining city south of Boise, Idaho. So now, I ask everybody to go to that website, endoftheamericandream.com, and look up information about China wanting to construct a 50-square-mile self-sustaining city south of Boise, Idaho. Now, it's called a special economic zone, and China National Machinery Industry Corporation, and that is a corporation that's owned by the Chinese Communist Party. They plan to have technology zones throughout America. And one of the states that they intend to build Chinese cities in is Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that is what's happening in Michigan right now.
Mary, let me say this. You know that Whirlpool is connected with China. When they got that stimulus money, they spent that money in China. They took that money straight to China. Governor Granholm went to China, and you know you might be right on the money because
China may have already bought Benton Harbor and leased it back to Whirlpool. All we know.
Uh-huh.
The thing is that in these cities they intend to have manufacturing facilities, warehouses, retail centers, and lots of homes for Chinese. Now it says that that these are modeled after a special economic zone in Communist China, like a word, and I'm going to spell it, S-H-E-N-Z-H-E-N. Now, that's a city that they built already like that in China. Now, in the 1970s, that city was a tiny fishing village, and it's now a sprawling metropolis of over 14 million people. So, built cities in China, then the Chinese can come. Now, they want these special economic zones all over the USA, and they're set up to go into first to Ohio, Michigan, and Pennsylvania.
Now,
it says that according to Dr. Jerome Corissa, that's C-O-R-I-S-I, the USA has already set up 257 foreign trade zones across America. And they're near airports and other mass transportation. Now, the Iowa Lieutenant Governor, Brad Little, said, China is where the money is. So now, the article says that this is a massive national security threat. they can move in military equipment without detection. I don't think they mind them moving in military equipment, frankly, because America has already been conquered as far as democracy is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 2010, China had a current account balance of over $272 billion. America, at the same time in 2010, had a deficit of $561 billion, nine times larger than any other nation. That deficit is nine times larger than any other nation. We have a $561 billion deficit as of 2010, according to this article. So the thing is that Benton Harbor's problems may not just begin and end with Westinghouse. It's probably having to do with international takeover.
Absolutely. You know what? I believe that, too, Mary. I believe that, too, because, you know, it's something about that when soon as President Obama gave Whirlpool that stimulus money, which who would believe that you would have to give a company now that made over $18 billion in profit last year, who would believe that they would give somebody like that stimulus money? And I'm talking about $29 to $35 million of stimulus money that Whirlpool received. And here's what they did. When they received that money, they went straight to China and set up shop over there. So
right.
we know what you're saying got validity to it. See, what you're saying is got validity to it because I've been talking about China for a long time, that they may even have a hand in this. Exactly what's going on.
I wrote an article a couple of years ago where my brother, Larry Neal, was secretly arrested for 3 weeks and lynched in Memphis County Jail, and the United States Department of Justice helped the jail cover up his murder. When that happened, and I found out that no major civil and human rights organizations would help us to get any records or any justice regarding his secret arrest. And you can look that online. That is the wrongful death of Larry Neal, N-E-A-L. When that happened, I wrote an article called Higher Ups, Did Y'all Sell America? And so this answers my question because, no, we have no democracy. A family here in Georgia, my family, has suffered the secret arrest and murder of a hand. And the United States government helped the jail, that's Memphis Shelby County Jail, to cover up his murder by allowing that jail to enter records into federal court saying that there had been no deaths, there had been no injuries of inmates. So they knowingly accepted that lie and entered it into federal record. So together, the United States government officials and Shelby County government officials got together and deported government. I am a Quintelpro victim because they know that I tell. I write about it all the time, and I tell people to watch out because if they will secretly arrest and murder one man, they will secretly arrest and murder others. Now, last year in December, 37 Georgia inmates came, and they will not account for them and tell where they are. This has happened in America. Also, the brown people, Latinos, they're against the black and brown first, but they're also against whites and people. I mean that if you're not in the billionaire club, you're not in their club. Now, if physicians read that they have a call for a new approach to
epidemic. I think we lost you there.
Mary,
incarceration.
Yes. Mary is beginning to analyze the problem correctly. When you start dividing rich to super rich against the poor, then you begin to analyze what is the basis of America. Follow the dollar. And you can follow it right through the extermination of the indigenous people here, the Indians, to get their land, and the importation of slaves, the imperialism going to other countries, 700 bases in foreign countries to do what? To take their wealth for the wealthy and to enlist the poor at the lowest cost imaginable in this deed, in this dastardly deed.
You're absolutely right, sir.
Stealing others'
wealth. I am very much under attack for proposing the boycott for justice. No shopping
yes.
on the 9th of every month. Now,
mm-hmm.
Since I've reported, I have, of course, terminated my computer. They killed it. Also, last week, they went to my daughter's house and cut her Ethernet because they didn't want me to be able to put that out much before the 9th of June. Also, they have, but I'm telling people about it on my cell phone. And I want everyone to look it up. It's online. It's called the Boycott for Justice. It's number four. That's the number four. The Boycott for Justice. I also want to say that they arrested a Mexican man in December, listen to me, in October last year. As you know, they began like Germany did with the mentally ill.
Mary, you're fading in and out. You're fading in and out.
That's
so let me say this, Mary. Your message is loud and clear, and we got to stop believing that China is about to take over this country. That we no longer have what we call the United States here.
No,
it's obvious to me that we are now broke. We're really not broke, but we're broke because it's broke for the poor people. That's
yes.
how I look at it.
Well, I think if we continue our analysis of those super rich as opposed to the super poor now and the enlistment of the super poor in their program, and I think that's all that this terror nonsense is all about, to enlist the poor to make them think that they're a part of the plans and a part of the gifts of this society is open to them. This is a mistake that they make. This is their program, trying to keep us enrolled in this program to work for their ramification of getting the world's wealth into a few people's hands. And when you begin to analyze that, then you will understand what America has always been about. And remember, Cynthia McKinney told us many years ago, the American government has been hijacked, not
yes.
by China, but by the wealthy people of this
mm-hmm.
country. China
exactly.
just happens to be
United
a part of
the wealthy
the
people
hijacking.
In China, the wealthy people in America, the wealthy people in the UK, the wealthy people in France, they have united and come down on Libya, and they are going to come down on Americans. They are already buying up land here in America for Chinese purchase. But let me just say, you hear me better?
No, you're
yes,
still kind of breaking up. You're still kind of breaking up.
Well, that's cool.
Now, can you hear?
Please know that the biggest plot against black Americans right now is the Jenny Cochran Cointelpro firm. Please look it up. That's the Jenny Cochran Cointelpro fraud, F-R-A-U-D.
Okay. So
all right.
So
like I said, we're on the right track, and one day we're going to have to talk about how does China affect America.
Absolutely.
It's a very interesting very interesting situation, but it's a situation that manufacturers created to make themselves rich. And it's not to help the Chinese people. The Chinese people are working for a substandard wage. But we must understand, although they work for a substandard wage, most of them have guaranteed housing.
Absolutely.
By the government.
Absolutely.
And so therefore, they can work at a substandard wage. But it is not for the Chinese people that this situation is set up for. It's set up for the American wealthy people. How much
yes,
money did Walmart make last year? This is what it's about. And the government has been spending money on waging war and on other programs through a bank. Guess who the bank is? The bank is the Chinese government. It's not the fault of the Chinese government that the American government borrows money from them.
That's right.
It's the fault of the American government that they borrow money, do not use it for the American people, but they use it to wage war to steal other people's products. It's called
the Libyan invasion is costing America $2 million a day. That's just Libya.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
$2 million
a day. Okay. They tell us that we do not have enough money for schools. We don't have enough money for our elders. They have Medicare and Medicaid. We do not have enough money for anything that Americans need. But we have $2 million a day to bomb Libya.
The moral of that story is there is enough money. They decide to spend it differently. But this is what is called, you know, like a referred to as a crisis of capitalism. It sounds very involved and very complicated. It is not. It is the rich people taking the money and refusing to recognize the need for poor in a capitalist society. They have just decided to just do away with 10%. In Michigan and other states where they say welfare is over, what are the people to do?
Fight.
The food
they
banks
want them to fight
trouble.
With each other. Long as the people are fighting against each other, they do not have to do any fighting at all. So that's what it's come to now. We got
As long as the people do not understand what there is to fight about, we're in trouble. We have much to fight about. And sometimes we have to fight each other. Those people who work for the government under the auspices of working for us have to be fought with. We have to fight our enemies,
and we have to support our friends.
And
I suggest, Ralph, that we fight economically. The thing is, please look at Boycott and the number four, Justice. We need to fight this battle economically because we are outgunned. We need to keep our money. Everything they do is for money. So we keep our money
in our pockets.
Whether
you
are
workers, let me say this, Mary.
Whether you are an abolitionist, whether you are a prisoner activist, whether you are just someone who is fed up, if we all get together and choose a day, and I suggest the 9th of every
we
month.
Choose, we already chose the 9th.
That they need our money and we're keeping it, then we will have an economic standpoint that we are the boss.
Mary, hold on for a second. We got to bring in Libby. Libby, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and I've got some news about Whirlpool, which is just typical. Oh, this is from bhbanco.org. Whirlpool won't pay 35% corporate income tax. It will pay zero. And it reads, Whirlpool Corporation recorded $18 billion in global sales and $619 million of earnings in 2010, but won't pay anywhere near the U.S. statutory tax rate of 35% on those profits. Its effective tax rate will be zero. As Bloomberg first reported last week, Whirlpool has stockpiled more than $500 million in tax credits for making energy-saving, quote, Energy Star appliances, washers, dryers, refrigerators, and so on. The firm gets a production tax credit of up to $200 per refrigerator, $75 per dishwasher, $225 per washer and dryer. This is such a racket. Anyways, I'm sorry, that wasn't on the website. General Electric has also collected about $200 million of these credits. Think of these energy efficiency tax carve-outs as a version of the earned income tax credit for corporate America, except Whirlpool and GE aren't poor. The deal gets sweeter. Those credits can be carried over from 1 year to the next for up to 20 years. Whirlpool is collecting so many credits that it may not have to pay a dime of corporate income tax for years. The lost revenue from GE and Whirlpool alone far exceeds the $78 million revenue cost over 10 years that Congress's Committee on Taxation predicted for the credits. special favors like these also create a business constituency against tax reform that would benefit the overall economy. Whirlpool carries its $500 million of unused tax credits as an asset on its balance sheet. So cutting tax rates shrinks the book value of that asset.
Mm.
Scott Hodge, president of the Tax Foundation, says this is why so many companies actually oppose lowering tax rates. The White House claims to want to reduce corporate tax rates in a, quote, revenue-neutral way by closing loopholes. Yet it's hard to take that commitment seriously when its new budget proposes to extend the green credit windfall for another year. Whirlpool is one more case study in the case for corporate tax reform. This is just, that's the end of it.
Well, one of the things you must remember, a report that recently came out, is the number of the portfolio of those in Congress. That means how much corporate stocks do they have. And as
mm-hmm.
it turns
right.
out, they never make a mistake. Everybody mm-hmm. they invest in gives them more money in return. What does that tell you? Cynthia McKinney, you have no government. It has been hijacked by the corporations. Yes, they
also
have.
Own the prisons. They own the prisons. Your elected officials, your judges, your defense attorneys, and your prosecutors own the prison system. So when you go into court accused of a crime, everybody in there wants you in jail because they'll make money off you except you and your mama.
Mm. These are the low-level guys. This is the low-level corruption. The big corruption is the corporations own everything, and those who run for office do so as a
personal The prison system is owned by the top officials in America, and all those other people. Individuals go to jail, but it is top level corruption. It's wholesale slavery in America. Through the prison system, it's not low level. They have 2.3 million people in prison, and 1 million people are going to work every day. 40 corporations working for zero to free, and it is not low level. It is a major corporation that are doing it, and they're owned by the very top people in America. In fact, Vice President Cheney was indicted for prison corruption in 2008 because they were allowing murders and abuses of prisoners and not actually doing anything about it because they own the prisons.
Okay, listen to this. We got about 6 minutes. Ralph, you got 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Yes, all I want to say is Lynn Stewart, although she is in prison, is working on freeing all political prisoners, raising the issue of who is a political prisoner, raising the issue of the incarcerated black people in jail, due to the political position of the United States against them, against people of color, that they become eligible as political prisoners. This question must be examined as every other question is examined. And we must also recognize the reality of those who claim to be on our side really are not. They have their own ox to gore, and it is not their ox to be gored. It is our ox to be gored for their benefit. So we must question everybody, black, white, anybody who says poor or rich, anyone who says they're on our side. We have to examine what our side is and what we want. And as Mary says, yeah, we must begin at home. Do not spend anything that is not for food or shelter. We must begin to control what we can control. We can control our own dollars. Dollars. Now, admittedly, we have to pay those dollars for food and shelter. We don't have to pay for anything else. No fancy sneakers. None of this nonsense. We have to begin to recognize our lives are at stake here. And Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E, Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T, .org. Look that up. She's in Carswell Federal Prison. Write her a letter. She will answer you, and she will knock your socks off. It will pick up your day.
Amen.
When you get a letter for Lynn dealing with a question. Thank you, everyone.
God bless you. Go ahead, Mary.
I just want to say, Reverend, thank you. I am the Director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. Please look that organization up online. They may let you see it. That's Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. America began right where Nazi Germany did. Nazi Germany began by isolating the mentally ill, whether they were Jewish or non-Jewish. They killed 400,000 mentally ill Germans before they started their official Holocaust. They now have 1.25 million mentally ill people of all races in jail. And they killed one just in February, a young man named Medinez. He went to jail weighing 180. He came out in a body bag weighing 77 pounds. Please look that up. They are arresting mass arrests and murders of Americans. Mass arrests and enslavery of Americans. It's not small, it's big time, and if China does build cities here, their work will be done by our people who have become slaves in the prison system. That's where
all
they
right.
are, that's where the jobs are.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Libby.
Well, all I'll say is this Saturday, June 18th, this coming Saturday, June 18th at 12 noon, meet at the Benton Harbor Public Library at 213 East Wall Street for a rally and march for justice in Benton Harbor and to honor and memorialize the death in a high-speed police chase of T-shirt Shern. And if you can possibly make it, please do. We need as many people to stand up for justice in Benton Harbor, where the police state has been in existence in a big way for many years.
Very, very good, Libby. And I just want to say to everybody who lives in the state of Michigan, they are throwing off 12,600 families off the welfare. So get yourself prepared for this. This is just the beginning. Starting October the 1st, then November the 1st, and then the following month, each month, they're going to be throwing people off. 12,600 families will be first October the 1st. And we have to understand one thing. We're in a war here. This is a
yes.
real war. This is no conflict. This is the real deal. We do not need to fight against each other. Remember this. And remember this. Those who think that the Democratic Party is your friend, you are mistaken. They are no different than the Republican Party, Tea Party. All these folks have somebody they send out to infiltrate your neighborhood and get you fighting among yourselves. That's what they do. That way, they do not have to do any fighting. I'm telling each and every one of you today, what's happening in the city of Benton Harbor is coming to your community next. So my thing is this. Let's get ready. Let's get ready to do battle. Let's tell them that enough is enough. June 18th is going to be a historical day. We are finally, I believe, going to get the residents of Benton Harbor to come out and do something and stand up for what is right. We plan to have the residents of Benton Harbor there. We've had several rallies. Most of the time it's from people from the outside. That's wonderful. We love that support. Beautiful. But if you don't put together something inside your community, you're doing nothing but spinning your wheels. And I want to say to everybody who's listening, we need your support. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney, and I'm proud to be. I know that they want to bring me down, but we're not going to allow it. We're going to take a stand against these folks who's coming in from the outside and doing things that we know that's not right. They're using money the same as Whirlpool do, and they're buying up these politicians once again. So I'm saying this to each and every one of you. Be there June 18th, 12 noon. 213 Wall Street, which is right in front of the library, City Hall, in that area. We're going to have a little bit of food and everything for everybody. So let's get ourselves prepared and take this thing to a whole different level. My thing is save Benton Harbor. If you save Benton Harbor, you save your city also. The only way that you can save Benton Harbor or help save Benton Harbor is to take a stand. And this is something we all can do. I know we can do it, but we are going to have to do it together. We cannot do it alone. And on that note, we have just ran out of time. God bless y'all.
Love you all. Thank you so
love
much.
Love you too, man. Y'all doing a great job. Just hang in there. Let's just take this thing to a whole different level. We're doing great. The rating is just out the roof, and we just doing good stuff, man. It's just so tremendous. People just sit back and listen to us talk. All we doing is talking. So that's the beauty part, Ralph. You and Mary. So listen, on that
thank
note,
you, Reverend. Reverend,
all right,
this show.
No, it's our show. We doing it together. So let's just stay focused and do the things that need to be done, and let's take this thing to a whole different level. And I will see y'all soon. And don't forget, Cynthia McKinney going to be here October the 8th. So I want y'all to make plans to be here. You got
me?
Yeah,
for Cynthia.
That's right. Absolutely. Talk to y'all later. Bye.
God bless you all. Thank you, audience.